If you've been with us the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been working our way through the Apostles' Creed. And I think it's really powerful. Next week, we're going to celebrate the Sacrament of Communion, and we're going to talk about the communion, you know, the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. But this is part two of We Believe in the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is such a deep and deep theological concept. So we're going to try and hit some of it again today. We talked a little bit about last week. Join me in our confession that we've been studying. That's the Apostles' Creed. You can join me. It should be up here next. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we've been working through this kind of line by line, and we're on, I believe in the Holy Spirit, God, Holy Spirit. We've talked about God the Father, we've talked about God the Son, and we talked a little bit briefly about God the Holy Spirit. And we're going to come back to John chapter 14, and we'll do verses 15 through 27. And Ruthie alluded to, sorry, the cross always moves and hits things. Ruthie alluded to back on the seat of faith table is a sheet that looks like this. And this is just a snippet, just a small reference to some of the scripture verses about the Holy Spirit. I think this is the New Testament. There's 138 times in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God is mentioned in the Old Testament. We could spend months talking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to pick up one of these. Use those Bible references over the next week or so and just read a few of those as you. And then when you read them, allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you, and you can see that about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I want us to go to John because these are Jesus's words about who the Holy Spirit is. In essence, he's talking about this Holy Trinity. We talked about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, and he's talking about the third person of the Trinity when he tells us in John 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And we talked about that last week, another counselor. In the Greek, it's allos parakletos. And it means that he's going to ask the Father to give you the identical twin to Jesus. Allos is identical. Parakletos, the identical twin that comforts, comes alongside, helps us. We talked last week about being brave. You're going to go through a procedure. How can you be brave? You lose a loved one. How can you be brave? You're looking at your life. How can you be brave? Jesus says, well, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you someone to help you be brave, come alongside you. He's the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It's interesting in the Greek in that passage, he lives with you and will be in you. The word lives is the present active verb, meno, and it means that and we're going to talk about this, when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit never departs from you. He lives in you, always in you. and will be with you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. J.I. Packer, in his book called Knowing God, said this is probably the second deepest doctrine of theology, the justification. We're justified by faith, we're saved by faith. But knowing that we are adopted, that you're a daughter of the King, you're a son of the King, knowing that we are adopted by God, that we're God's children, is one of the deepest doctrines theologically to understand. You have a father. And we have, you know, as Chris Tomlin would sing, we have a good, good father who loves us unconditionally. And his promise is, I will never leave you as an orphan. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, again, the Greek is a present active, I live, I'm going to continue to live, and I will always be living, so will you. It talks about eternal life in this. We're going to get there, you know, one of these days when we get to, I believe, an everlasting life. Because I live, so will you also live. In verse 20, and on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now that sounds like a lot of deep theology too. But Jesus is saying, I'm in my Father, and my Father is in me, in essence, and we are in you, allos parakletos. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, I love that verse. In my Bible that I have here and in my Bible that I do my journaling, I have that underlined. That God wants to make his home in me. That makes me think of inviting Jesus into my home. Well, that means I've got to kind of let him help me clean up my house. You know, maybe make my bed if he's coming over, or sweep the floor, or maybe do the dishes, because he wants to make his home in me. And that's a powerful thought, that God wants to come and be in my house. In verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching, and these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while I'm still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So he tells us one of the roles or one of the works of the Holy Spirit, and you can read it in here. But the Holy Spirit will be your teacher, not Pastor Dave. Yeah, I get to teach a little bit, but the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He will teach you. He'll counsel you and teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And I think about our son, Brian. My wife told the little illustration. They went to the beach and he parked two parking spots, and the Holy Spirit said, you better move your car. Ah, it's okay, nobody's here. You better move your car. Ah, nobody's here. The Holy Spirit will teach you and counsel you in all things. How often do we, the Holy Spirit goes, well, maybe you should call Ruthie. Nah, I don't want to bother her. Or maybe I should take so-and-so out to lunch. Nah. The Holy Spirit will counsel you and teach you all things. How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? That's a profound thing and a deep concept. And sometimes we learn, like my son had to learn the hard way, $128 the hard way. when really all he had to do was pay $4 for parking. And sometimes we get really mad and we go, oh. But really, if we were just listening, we would go, yeah, you're right. You're right, God, I'm sorry. I should have listened the first time. So he'll teach you in all things. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. This, all this I have spoken while still with you, verse 25. And then, but the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. And he ends it with verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And we don't have a lot of time to talk about the peace that Jesus gives and the Holy Spirit brings, but I can tell you, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, when we listen to God's word, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, it says in Philippians that the peace of God will guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. So how do we listen to the peace of God? I work with a man called Chappie. He's a chaplain for the Salvation Army. In fact, he's helping me on this weekend. And an illustration of, he shared, two illiterate husband and wife, illiterate, they couldn't really read. They came to the Salvation Army church and they started attending, and the Salvation Army workers wear red sweaters. I don't know if you've ever seen them wear the red sweaters, and they were wearing the red sweaters, and so they, this couple went to church, and they came home after church on Sunday, and the wife said to the husband, "You look really upset," and he says, "Well, everybody at church has a red sweater but me." And she says, "Well, don't worry, hon, I'll knit you a red sweater." So she, that week, knitted him a red sweater, and he wore it to church that next Sunday. And they came home after church, and she says, "Well, how was it?" And he looked a little despondent. He says, "Well, everybody has a red sweater, but they have yellow writing on it, on their red sweater. And while I don't have yellow writing on my red sweater like everyone else," and she said, "Don't worry, hon. I'll stitch some yellow writing on your sweater." Well, she couldn't read, and he couldn't read. So, do you know what's on the? Have you ever seen the Salvation Army in their red sweaters? You know what? It's a circle with a yellow circle, and it has two words. Fire and I think power on there. If you see the Salvation Army ringing, you can ask them to show them your sweater because they have their sweaters on. It just says fire and power. Well, they didn't know what to write because she couldn't read fire and power and put it on the sweater. So she looked at the business that was across the street from their house, and she copied the writing down. And she stitched it on his sweater. And he went to church the next Sunday with the writing from the business across the street on his shirt. And he came home from church, and she says, "Well, what did everybody think about your sweater?" He said, "Oh, they loved my sweater. They all want a sweater like my sweater." And it said, "This business is under new management." When the Holy Spirit comes, this business is under new management. It's so true, but see, we want to manage our lives. When the Holy Spirit says, "Don't turn right, you know, don't turn left, turn right. Stop here." We go, "Well, I'm under management here." Here's another illustration. This is us. An empty glass. Okay? But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. Fills us up. I'm in you and you are in me and the Father is in us. But I brought some Alka-Seltzer. If the Holy Spirit comes in and starts to fill us up, you know, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. The Holy Spirit brings, well, Alka-Seltzer brings us comfort, right? We got a headache or we're sick. It really helps us, right? Like the Holy Spirit is the comforter. But so often this is what we do with the Holy Spirit. Not much comfort here. Not much relief here. Not much help here. But if we were to say, come, Holy Spirit, fill our heart, Holy Spirit will start bubbling up in you. And if you had a cold, it would bring you comfort. If you were lonely, it would bring you comfort. If you were afraid, it would bring you comfort. But see, the Holy Spirit is living in us. But we never say, come, Holy Spirit, comfort us. Come, Holy Spirit, guide us. Come, Holy Spirit, direct our steps. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Come, Holy Spirit, relieve me. A lot of times we go through life like this. We got Jesus. We know about God. Now, the Holy Spirit might make us, like, kind of strange. Might make me call somebody up and say, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I'm just supposed to call you up and say, how are you doing? And the person starts pouring her heart out because they needed some comfort. Or maybe you decide to bake some cookies and say, I don't know why I'm baking these cookies, but I bring them over and drop them off and say, I'm supposed to drop off these cookies to you. I don't know why. Sometimes you're going to be at the grocery store and someone's walking through the line and you're supposed to say, how are you feeling? You look like you're not feeling well. And the person starts crying. The Holy Spirit will come and comfort and transform your life when you start listening and allowing Him, actually, if you just open them up. And really open them up. I told you every morning, I say, come, Holy Spirit. Fill my heart. Teach me what I need to do today. Teach me what I need to say today. Teach me where I should go today. He does a pretty good job. I'll admit, a lot of times I'm like my son. I don't know where he got it. But the Holy Spirit will say, go do this, and I'll go, I'm pretty tired. I just don't want to do that. And then I learned that I really should have done what I should have done. I know that none of you are like that, okay? But I think so often we live our Christian life like this. The Holy Spirit is there. We just haven't opened him up. We haven't said, make me who you want me to be. Comfort me, guide me, direct me, teach me. In one of the Super Bowls, they had this commercial about, and they did a spoof on Castaway. I think it was 37, or I'm not sure which Super Bowl it was. And they did the spoof on the movie Castaway. Did you guys see the movie Castaway? It's an old movie. Tom Hanks is stranded on an island, and he saves this package. Was it you, FedEx? FedEx. He saves this package and finally gets rescued, and he delivers the package. And the spoof was he stands at the door and says, I went through all this to save this package. What was in it? And the lady opens it. Oh, sure. And inside the package was a cell phone? A satellite phone. A satellite phone and a global positioning system and fresh water, a bottle of water, and seeds. You know, that's a lot like this. Tom Hanks, you know, in the movie, had the package and he never opened it. He had this satellite phone and he could have called for rescue. He had this GPS. GPS is really God's positioning system, okay? He had this GPS that could have straightened him out. We have a GPS too. Holy Spirit, teach me all things. Guide me in all my ways. We wait for Siri or our mobile phone to tell us, turn right. Oh, make a U-turn. Right? If you've ever used your phone or these GPS, you missed your turn. Why can't we tune our ears to the Holy Spirit? Tom Hanks in that movie had all he needed in that spoof to live his life. The truth is, we have everything we need right here to live our life. But we're so afraid, I think, we're so afraid of allowing the Holy Spirit to just have our lives. To have control of our lives. My prayer, when we say, now think of the first century, and if you read some of these passages, the Holy Spirit is a gift, the Holy Spirit is an equipper, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is a counselor, a teacher, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus known. The Holy Spirit convicts us and convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit moves us to where we need to be. The Holy Spirit answers us. In Acts, the Holy Spirit was the power to witness. It filled the Holy Spirit filled and it gave the charter for the new church. The Holy Spirit says we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit moves us to where we need to be. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, advocate, helper to be with you forever. He'll never leave you. I'll never leave you orphaned. He will guide you and teach you in the way you should go. Why don't we tap into that and use the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm out of time, but I have a story of a rag man in my manuscript, and I didn't print a lot of manuscripts this week. I'll share the rag man next week with you. But we are transformed. And I think of the early church. Next week, we're going to talk about the communion of the saints. And I'm going to leave you with this thought, is when we say the Apostles' Creed, thousands of years people have said this creed. In churches, in homes, in caves. And they said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. And when they said that, I think we know the book of Acts, those people transformed the world. We should be able to be agents of transformation too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be filled. We want this business to be under new ownership. We want this business of our heart, this business of our mind, this business of our life, this business of our family, this business of the church. We want it to be under new ownership. We say, come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, fill our minds, speak to us, and teach us in all the ways that we should go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship a song.